In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's the cabinet maker doing in the pulpit? I can easily imagine some of the people sitting in the pews on that Sabbath day asking one another that very question. I mean, they heard with their ears marvelous words from Isaiah of great news, but they couldn't get past what they were seeing. I mean, after all, isn't this Joseph's boy? Many of them, no doubt, could remember when Jesus was just a kid running and playing in the streets of Nazareth with all the others. To their eyes, he was just the son of Joseph, now grown up into a man. Yet there was something drastically different about that boy. If they would only let their ears remember what was spoken and then believe, then they would truly see that the one who was standing in their midst was much more than what their eyes were telling them. But that was their problem. And that's our problem as well. We want to believe with our eyes and trust what we see and not what we hear. I mean, think about the various things that people would have heard about Jesus ever since he was just a baby. I mean, the words spoken to Mary, his mother, by the angel Gabriel, that the child she would conceive would be called the Son of the Most High, who will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And then there were the words spoken to the shepherd by the angel that a Savior would be born for them, who is Christ the Lord. And at the temple, Simeon and Anna, I mean, they couldn't hold back their words when they saw Jesus coming and they declared that he was the salvation and redemption of God's people. And just 2 weeks ago, we heard about the voice that came down from heaven at Jesus' baptism, declaring him to be God's beloved and well-pleasing son. And now, here, in their synagogue, standing in their midst, reading from the prophet Isaiah, and they can't get past what they see. A man, a fellow Galilean, just as they were. Their doubtful eyes blinded them from the believing the good news that they were hearing with their ears. They wanted a sign instead, something they could see, something they could touch and feel, something they could experience. But Jesus wasn't going to indulge their unbelief. No, he was carrying them from trusting with their eyes to trusting his words. For faith comes by not seeing, but hearing. Hearing the words of Christ. But we always don't like what we hear, do we? Especially when it's painfully true. When our weaknesses and our shortcomings get exposed, it's hard to hear the truth, to call a thing what it is, and to see ourselves for who we really are, and to recognize our condition for what it really, truly is. But it is for you, broken, sinful you, that Jesus came down from heaven and took on our flesh. It was for you that he was baptized, and it is for you that he stood in that synagogue on that Sabbath day, because he came for the poor, for you who are empty-handed, having nothing of your own to give to God, to gain his favor, or not having one thing to cling on to for hope. Jesus came to the poor to bring you good news. Jesus came for you who are held captive, unable to free yourselves from your sin that holds you in chains. He has come to set you free. And even to the blind, he gives back their sight to see, not with their eyes, but with their ears, to trust in the grace and the mercy of God. He sets you free who are oppressed, broken, beaten down, tired. All of this he does by the gracious words of his mouth to bring you the good news of new life, new sight, and lasting hope in his name. When we deviate from the word of God, we are left to listen to another word that tells us what our eyes are seeing. We don't see ourselves as poor when we listen to that word. We see ourselves as maybe impoverished, need a little bit more time and effort to get back up to snuff. We don't see ourselves as imprisoned, but rather just inhibited by our sin. Nothing that a healthy dose of spiritual discipline won't cure. We think that with our reason and rationale, we could have clarity of sight to see what God's doing in our lives and doing in his church. And the oppression we see can just be worked out. We can put all the broken pieces back together if we just have a stronger faith. But my friends, that's not the words of your Savior, but of the one who seeks to destroy and to devour you, the devil himself. God gives us faith to trust in what we don't see and understand because what he promises, he will bring about. Take, for example, Elijah and Elisha. They were sent into two desperate circumstances against all odds with nothing but a promise. What the eyes could not see, God's word brought to pass. Oil and flour that never ran out to feed a household in the midst of a famine. And a leper who was cleansed by washing 7 times in the dirty waters of the Jordan River. Our Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, has come to us to proclaim real words of salvation to those who cannot save themselves. He speaks to you and to me this morning through his living word, good news of deliverance from the sin that enslaves you and me, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, where he sets the captives free and erases all of your debt of sin. The last miracle that Jesus performed as he was heading towards Jerusalem to be crucified happened along the side of the road. A blind beggar heard that Jesus was passing by, and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the folks around him tried to shut him up. Maybe they thought that Jesus shouldn't waste his time on a blind beggar. Or maybe they thought that Jesus couldn't do much for that man. But regardless of the reason, the man cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stopped and asked that man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me see again." And with just a spoken word, no touching, no feeling, but just with the words of his mouth, Jesus gave that blind man back his sight. Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well." A blind beggar with nothing to bring and no way to help himself, he trusted not in anything he could do for himself, but in the words of his Lord. The crowd in the synagogue was enraged at the words of Jesus. They didn't like what they heard. And instead of repenting and seeking forgiveness, they drove him out of the town to the edge of a hill to throw him off and to kill him. Blinded by their sin, they sought to kill the one who came to give them back their sight and to set them free, to bless them with new and everlasting life. And through a crowd so blinded, Jesus slipped away that day. It wasn't his time. But there would be another time, some 3 years later, when he would carry his cross outside of another town, Jerusalem, and walk up another hill called Calvary to die on a wooden cross for you. For every blind beggar who has nothing to bring or to give, who can do nothing about his condition but cry out, "Jesus, have mercy upon me." And Jesus takes all of your sin, all of it, and he bears it on his cross, and he wraps you in his righteousness, and with his last breath declares, "It is finished." Your eyes don't see it. Your neighbor's eyes don't see it. But God sees it. The robe of Christ's righteousness wrapped around you all of the days of your life, even until your last breath. And even though our eyes fail us, Jesus keeps giving us his word into our ears, our eyes of faith. Our eyes only see water, but our ears see the water that cleanses us from our sins and turns slaves into children. Our eyes see only bread and wine, but our ears hear the words of our Savior that bids you and me to eat and drink his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life. Today, this morning, is the favorable year of our Lord. Rejoice and live in the fullness and the freedom of his grace that Jesus lavishes upon you this very morning. And with his words of great news ringing in your ears, go in his peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.